The burning of the vinyl chloride in the aftermath of the Norfolk Southern train spill in Ohio is being called a, quote, controlled burn, but that's a lie. It's a malicious lie. I was on with Steve Bannon yesterday, and I want to thank him for having me on, and he asked me this question, why isn't it a controlled burn? You know, in my view, what makes it not a controlled burn? And I had a little bit of time to answer it there, but I need to explain more. So in order to understand this, you've got to understand a little bit about chemistry and dioxins and incineration. So different kinds of molecules require different temperatures of a fire to destroy those molecules. And complete incineration of many of these so-called persistent molecules, which could include things like pesticides or herbicides or chlorinated compounds in this case, or dioxins or what have you. Depending on the molecule, complete incineration can require temperatures beyond 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. And controlled incineration, which is what a lot of countries do to biosludge, by the way, they incinerate the biosludge. That incineration destroys essentially almost all the molecules and just leaves behind ash, carbon, and minerals, the elements. In other words, it leaves behind the things that are on the table of elements. You know, you have some carbon and some calcium and some magnesium and so on, you know, because those don't burn up, right? But what will be destroyed in the incineration are the complex molecules, which are made of things like carbon and hydrogen and oxygen. For example, vitamin C is nothing but carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Did you know that? It's just those three elements arranged in a certain configuration that makes it ascorbic acid. It makes it a vitamin. And the same thing is true with pesticides or herbicides. So glyphosate, for example, you know, it's made of the same basic elements plus phosphorus, and it has a phosphate group in it, and it has a certain specific configuration and a certain polarity, a certain affinity in based on its chemical topography or morphology, as it's called, that gives it its properties to function as a weed killer. Now, if you take glyphosate and you start to break it apart, you get post-glyphosate byproducts, which are things like AMPA. That's just the short acronym for one of the smaller molecules. It's smaller than glyphosate. And then if you keep breaking it down even more, which is what bacteria do in the soils, eventually you just get simple things like ammonia, you know, NH3. Or you might get other, you know, hydroxyl compounds. Depending on what molecule you started with, you're going to get different smaller products as it all degrades. And what's important to understand is that the toxicity of glyphosate, when you break it down into things like AMPA, well, AMPA itself doesn't have the same toxicity as glyphosate. It doesn't function as the weed killer. So when you break apart the molecule, you render its toxicity largely ineffective. So when you're looking at dioxins, which are rather large molecules, and some of them are, you know, very, very complex molecules, lots of chains, lots of sequences of different elements. When you incinerate those molecules, you eliminate their toxicity and you break them down into the carbon, the hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, you know, phosphorus, and so on, which by themselves are essentially harmless. So yes, you can incinerate vinyl chloride in a controlled, high temperature, hazardous waste incinerator, and you can eliminate the vinyl chloride, and you can even incinerate dioxins at very, very high temperature, and you can therefore break them down and eliminate their toxicity. But that is not what happened in East Palestine, Ohio. They set fire to it in an open ditch where it doesn't burn at a sufficient temperature to break down the molecules. And in fact, at the temperatures that you would find typically in an open ditch fueled by a chemical like vinyl chloride, you're actually producing more combustion byproducts. You're not incinerating everything down to its carbon, you know, carbon, oxygen, nitrogen, and so on. what you're doing is you're creating new toxic compounds that didn't exist before, including various dioxins. And dioxins are created from high heat. When you combine high heat with chlorinated compounds, i.e. in a relatively low temperature fire, you get dioxins. It's well known. This is how dioxins are accidentally created in industry. So by burning this in a ditch, they produced dioxins. So when the media says it's a controlled burn, it's a lie. It's a malicious lie. It's a damn lie. It's not a controlled burn. It's a dioxin-producing fire factory is what that is. And they released it right into the open air. I mean, think about the term controlled. Well, if you control something, it means you have control over it. You can limit its movement. You have it contained, for example. Well, they say they have a controlled burn. That's a term from forest fires, where you burn a section of a field or a small forest section in order to create a fire break. It means you intentionally set it on fire because you want to stop this other fire from spreading. That's what controlled burn means. The term controlled burn doesn't apply to these chemicals. It's not a controlled burn. It's a dispersal. It's a synthesis of new toxic molecules and then releasing them into the air, where they will fall onto the farms and the rivers and the streams and the rooftops and people's cars and backyards and swimming pools. Okay? It's not a controlled burn. It is a deliberate act of ecological terrorism against America. That's what that was. And anybody who says it's a controlled burn either doesn't know what that term means, or they're just parroting, you know, the mainstream media lies or White House lies or what have you. It's a cover story. Oh, it's a controlled burn. Well, let me ask you this. If it's controlled, if it was controlled by the railroad, then does the railroad take responsibility for all the effects of that burn since they claim to have controlled it? You know, by definition, even legally, if you claim to control a vehicle, and if the vehicle runs over 12 people, then aren't you liable for the vehicle's damage to all of those people, all the fatalities and damage? Or if you control an airplane and the airplane flies into a Quickie Mart or whatever, aren't you responsible for the damage that that airplane caused to the Quickie Mart? Well, since Norfolk Southern claims that they controlled this burn, then they are admitting responsibility for all of the cancers, the deaths, the abortions, the dead animals, the food contamination, the property values crashing. This is the railroad admitting that they shall be responsible financially, perhaps legally, perhaps criminally responsible for the fallout of this toxic chemical catastrophe. Now think about this. Alec Baldwin, on the movie set of the movie Rust, he pointed a gun at, what was it, a producer or director of photography? He pointed a gun, he pulled the trigger. Not knowing the gun was loaded, he deliberately pulled the trigger, but didn't know it was loaded, and so he inadvertently shot this person. Was Alec Baldwin in control of the gun at the time? Yes. He controlled the gun. No one else controlled it at that time. Now, an armorer controlled it before he did and assured him that it was empty, but it wasn't. But he didn't know that. So he controlled the firearm, and he killed somebody with that firearm, even though he didn't mean to. That is very similar to what Norfolk Southern just did. I don't think that the railroad wanted to kill people, but they pulled the trigger by igniting the vinyl chloride. And the barrel of that gun was pointed at everybody. Everybody in eastern Ohio, everybody in northwestern Pennsylvania, a whole lot of people in, you know, New York, and all the areas that are going to be affected by this. They pulled the trigger, and they say they were in control. And maybe they didn't know the gun was loaded. Maybe they didn't know that they would produce dioxins, but they pulled the trigger, and as a result, cause and effect kicked in, and the dioxins were created. And one of the ways that you know they were created is because, well, I mean, number one, it's just straight chemistry. You can talk to any competent chemist, and what happens when you combust chlorinated compounds? Oh, you get dioxins, yeah. I mean, it's just part of the chemical equations. It's cause and effect. But secondly, notice that no authority in the area is testing for dioxins. Why? Because they don't want to see them. They don't want to find them. If there were no dioxins present, they should test for them and declare, we've tested and we found no dioxins. But even then, you couldn't trust them because they're covering it up, right? You have to have an independent lab. You have to have somebody that's not hired by the railroad or part of the EPA to have somebody you can trust. But they're not even pretending to test for dioxins. They're just not testing. And then saying, everything's good, go back home. Dioxins are toxic at ridiculously low exposures. We're talking parts per trillion exposures, which are almost impossible to detect with laboratory instruments. You have to use the most high-end, the most sensitive mass spec instruments in the world, which we have one, by the way. It's called a triple quad mass spec or a tandem MSMS. If you're wondering about the third quadrupole, that's the collision cell, but we won't get into that. You have to have the world's most sensitive instruments in order to be able to detect dioxins in the environment, because the concentrations are typically very low, but they're extremely toxic nonetheless. We are looking at an ecological catastrophe on a scale that we've never seen in the history of this country. And it wasn't Alec Baldwin that pulled the trigger. It was apparently, what's being reported, somebody at Norfolk Southern that gave the order to set fire in an open ditch, a large volume, perhaps 1 million gallons of a substance that would burn at temperatures which will not incinerate the toxic molecules, but will rather produce more toxic molecules. That's what happened. That's like pulling the trigger of a gun pointed at somebody's chest. Except in this case, it's thousands, tens of thousands, maybe at some point, hundreds of thousands of people. Maybe millions. It's a high population density area. Now, if the truth ever comes out about this, and by the way, watch my interview with Eric Coppolino, who has been covering this in great detail. Watch my interview with him, and we're going to be covering this editorially in a lot more detail, but you will understand why the town of East Palestine must be evacuated immediately. And these people need to go through a dioxin detox also immediately. And we're still researching what's the best way to do that. But we know that cruciferous vegetables contain indole-3-carbinol, I3C, which can help eliminate dioxins from the body and help block absorption. So we know that right now. But people need to be going to super clean diets. They need to drink a lot of water. They need to sweat out. That might help. Might not. We don't know yet. But everything that you can do as a traditional, safe, healthy detox, those people should be doing that right now to get these chemicals out of their bodies as quickly as they can. And as we learn more, we'll share that with you publicly so that we can help more people, you know, truly detox all the way. But that's what needs to happen. And that town needs to be shut down. And there needs to be dioxin testing everywhere across that town. And there probably needs to be an effort to remove the top layers of soil, to take down all the homes and buildings, to peel up every road, you know, compensate everybody, buy them out, buy their land, their buildings, because the real estate's going to be worth zero when the truth comes out about this. They need to pay people, move them, and raise the town. They've got to tear down the entire town, in my opinion, based on what I know so far. And then they would have to remediate it. There might be soil microbes that could possibly help. I don't know. But we need to be looking into that. You would have to bring in new topsoil from other areas. You need to build giant concrete monuments that say things like, never dig down more than 12 inches because this whole area is contaminated with toxic dioxins. And you know, carve it into concrete so that no one can take down the signs. You need to put like 1,000-year warning signs. Seriously, you know, in case modern civilization collapses and you don't want some future survivors stumbling into this toxic area. And that's what you need to be doing. And instead, what you're getting is a total cover-up. Media cover-up, corporate cover-up, government cover-up. Three institutions of society, they're all colluding to cover this up. And so as a result, many thousands of people will die prematurely, probably. Perhaps tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands will have years taken off their lives. So no, folks, it wasn't a controlled burn. It was a chemical factory. It was combustion to create far more toxic chemicals than what they started with. It was the worst possible decision that could have been made. And no doubt, millions of lives will be impacted in some way. Not necessarily cancer or death, but millions of lives will be impacted with, you know, hormone problems, infertility, spontaneous abortions, mood swings, mood disorders, hormonal disorders, all these things will likely impact millions of people for generations to come because of the one decision to issue a, quote, controlled burn order. It's not a controlled burn. You don't set fire to 1 million gallons of toxic liquid chemicals if you don't understand the chemistry of what happens next. It's suicide. It's amazing how quickly they got everybody to use the term controlled burn. It's not, why would you call it controlled? There's a giant plume going into the sky. The CEO of the railroad admitted, look at the giant smoke plume. And he said, that's when we knew we were having success, I think. The sky filled with this horrible, dark, toxic cloud. How would you call that a controlled burn? If you unleash something into the sky where the wind blows it and then the rain makes it fall on the farms and then goes into the rivers and streams and flows downstream, emptying ultimately into the Gulf of Mexico, that's not controlled. That's out of control. And it's an out of control, toxic cloud event. It's a toxic cloud event. So I want to thank Steve Bannon for having me on and for him having an open mind to hear about this. You know, interestingly, this topic tends to be the focus more of people on the political left, which is a shame because all of us, regardless of our politics, regardless of who we voted for president or what have you, we don't want to live in a toxic stew of deadly cancer-causing chemicals. We don't want our food supply to be contaminated. You know, we don't want our waterways contaminated. We don't want our fish and our pets and backyard chickens to be contaminated. This issue should transcend politics. It just so happens that people on the political left are much better on this issue of halting contamination. The problem with the left on this is that they think carbon dioxide is a pollutant, but it isn't. Carbon dioxide is a nutrient for plants. It's necessary for photosynthesis. So it's like, well, those of you listening on the left, you know, I hope you get this sorted out. Some things are really, really toxic, like dioxins and heavy metals and glyphosate and pesticides. And all of those have different orders of magnitude of toxicity, by the way. But carbon dioxide is not a toxin. It is a nutrient for plants. We would die without it. So they get all skewed and messed up talking about climate change and the war on carbon. We're carbon. We're made of carbon. If you're going to have a war on anything, it should be a war on toxic, synthetic, dangerous chemicals. Carbon dioxide is not synthetic. It's as natural as God's green earth. We would die without it. The plants need it. Dioxins are created by industry. There are no natural dioxins in the world, in the environment. There weren't until we came along and started creating chlorinated compounds and burning them. And, you know, using industrial processes to essentially cook them at high temperatures, releasing or creating dioxins that then go into many of the products, including, well, you know, tampons back in the 1980s. Remember the toxic shock syndrome? That was from tampons. That was the bleach in the cotton paper, I think it was, or a cellulose paper. It was a bleach, and it contained dioxin contamination because of the bleaching process. And it was killing some women. And no one expected it because the toxicity was so high at such a small concentration. Well, imagine if you carpet bombed an entire region with those same dioxins, and then it gets on everybody's skin and gets in everybody's food, and it's on their door handles and rooftops and backyards and playgrounds where their children play, and schoolyards and sidewalks, roadways, and all of that. That's where it is now. That town needs to be evacuated immediately. And if it is not evacuated, I'm going to agree with Eric Coppolino. I'm going to call for criminal arrest and prosecution of every official that has been part of this cover-up. Every official who lied to the public and swept this under the rug and has resulted in these people being exposed to toxic, even potentially deadly compounds. That town should be evacuated immediately. Watch my full interview with Eric Coppolino. It's on my channel on Brighteon.com.